1 Corinthians 13, we've been in this for a while. And the first week, I think, was somewhere in September or October. And then we got into Thanksgiving and Night in Bethlehem and Vision Night and Victory Night. And last week was just, I got into Psalms, Lifelong Christianity. We jumped out of the series. And I told you last week, I thought we had two more weeks. I was studying this week and I said, you know what? I'm just going to finish it off tonight. So we're going to kind of combine where I was going to be. Don't worry, I don't think that means I have to be doubly long. But we're going to just finish off the last four verses. It took us 9 weeks, I guess, to get through the first eight verses or so. Really, the first week, I think we did the first three verses on the first Sunday was the first three, and then we went word by word, verse by verse, and so for about 8 weeks, we were in another three or four verses, and now we'll finish off the last four or five, I guess, is that, that's four, 9 through 13 is where we'll finish off, and 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact charity always works. The Bible says there in verse number 8, charity never faileth, and we looked at that, that charity always works, and by way of review, as I was looking, I was reading back through this chapter, a short chapter with so much biblical truth and so much practical application for our relationships and for the way that we treat one another, the way that we treat those that we love, those that we don't know, those that within our families, those within our churches. So much here about the love that the Christian should have. And I told you the first week that that word for charity, we called this the love chapter, and the series is called love. The word love is never found in this chapter. But this word charity is the same Greek word agape, agapao. It's that same, and it's multiple times found in the New Testament. One of the places, it's the same word, the same root word that we have, John 3:16, for God so loved. That's that same agape love. It's the highest of all loves in the Bible. You look, for us, we have a word, and when we think of charity, when we say the word charity, we often think of maybe a nonprofit organization, or like today I was at the rescue mission. We would think of I gave to charity, or that's a charity type of thing. And it's a little different word here. We have the word love, and we'll use it in different ways. In the Greek, there are multiple different Greek words used for the English word love in the New Testament. And there's a phileo love, which is more of a fleshly, what can I get out of this relationship? There's Philadelphia, that Greek word for brotherly love, which is where we get Philadelphia, the city. They call it a brotherly love. And this word is agape. It's the highest of all. It's the sacrificial love. It's the same love that God showed when he sent his son. And it's the love that Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, encouraging them to have. As I was reading back through this chapter, it just, I don't know why it took me this long for it to hit me, but I began to read it. And the Bible says, but God is what? Love. I began to read this, and as I read about all the characteristics of biblical charity that we've gone through for 8 or 9 or 10 Sunday nights, whatever it's been, I got thinking about it. As this is describing charity, really, it's describing Jesus Christ. And I don't think it's irreverent. I want to, because God is love, as we read it, and as I read it, it helped me just to think about who Christ is and what he's done. I'm going to read through the first 8 verses with you, and I'm going to replace the word charity with Jesus or with Christ. And when we get to the attributes, it'll go to past tense for us to think about who he was as he walked this earth. He says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not Jesus, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not Jesus, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not Jesus, it profiteth me nothing. Jesus suffered long. He still does, by the way, but as we talk about his earthly ministry, and was kind. Jesus envied not. Jesus vaunted not himself, was not puffed up, did not behave himself unseemly, sought not his own, was not easily provoked, thought no evil, rejoiced not in iniquity, but rejoiced in the truth. He bore all things, he believed all things, he hoped all things, he endured all things. Jesus never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And as I read that, I thought about as I looked at it, everything that charity is described at, Jesus could be described that way. And I thought about it, that's because God is love. What is that? So we ought to be seeking to have the same attributes that Christ had when he walked this earth. We ought to seek to embody the love of Christ in our lives and in our families and in our relationships. And God is love. The goal is for us to love like Jesus loved. We're going to read now and finish up the last five verses, 9 through 13. And would you, I'm going to read verse number 9, then you read 10, I'll read 11, we'll go responsibly. You read 12 aloud, and I'll finish up with verse number 13. Let's read that together. Ready? Begin. I'll start verse 9, then you'll begin in verse number 10. I'll read verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Verses number 9 and 10, he says, now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Many people read that verse and think that that is talking about and pointing to the second coming of Christ. And they say, now we know in part, and they use it present day. They say, right now, we don't see everything. And I maybe have even said this in times past, but as I dug a little bit deeper, I disagree with that in context. Because as you study God's word, it's all about reading it in context and understanding what Paul's talking about. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's talking all about the second coming of Christ. 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's not talking about that, and that's not the context of this chapter. In fact, he just got done talking about the things that were going to pass away, the things that were going to go away. We looked at that some last week. He said, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There be tongues, they shall cease. There be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Those were gifts of comprehension and gifts of communication. The gifts of comprehension, knowledge, and prophecy. God gave supernatural gifts to some people at that time of knowledge and prophecy. And then the gift of communication was the gift of tongues. We talked about that a couple Sunday nights ago. And he said, but those are what he's talking about here. For now we know in part, that's why we need those gifts. But when that which is perfect is come, those things will go away. Why did we need those gifts then? Because Scripture was not complete. They didn't have all of Scripture. As you study this chapter in context, you'll see, I personally don't believe that he's pointing to the second coming, saying, for you and me, now we know in part, but then when we see that, all everything will be answered. I don't believe that's what's talking about here. I think he's writing to the Corinthian Christians and telling them, we don't have the complete manuscript. We don't have the complete canon that I preached about this morning. We don't have the complete Word of God. Right now we know in part, which is why we need the gift of knowledge, which is why we need the gift of prophecy, which is why we need the gift of tongues, that way we can know things that we need to know. But there's coming a time when that which is perfect is come, that is Scripture, when God gives us his finished, inspired, preserved word, when we have a copy of God's word in our hand and it's complete and the canon is closed, we won't need those gifts anymore, which in part shall be done away. May I say this, don't ever get confused or start thinking, maybe I need something more than God's word. We have everything we need. He's not talking about someday we'll have all the answers. Now, I understand there are some things that we don't understand, but we have everything we need right here. We don't need the gift of knowledge. We don't need the gift of prophecy. We don't need the gift of tongues. God, he said, those things will go away when that which is perfect is come. And in context, as you look at what he's talking about, I believe him to be talking about God's word here in verses 9 and 10. When we have the full Bible, those gifts of comprehension and gifts of communication will go away. Notice what he says in verse number 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Again, we will sometimes, maybe I've even said this to my boys or something, you know, grow up, and we'll use that verse as when you were a child, you spake as a child, now you're a man, grow up and put away childish things. But in context, understanding what he's talking about, he's saying there was a time when we needed these gifts, but now that we are grown up in Christ and we have his entire revelation here, his fulfilled, his entire prophecy here, we don't need those childish things, those things which were in part. Verse number 12, for now, right now the Corinthian church, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. In those days, their mirrors would not have been like our mirrors. Their glass would not have been like our glass. Have you ever gone into the maybe a public restroom at a park or something where they don't want people to scratch it? And it's just kind of this piece of metal that's a little bit of a reflection. And you can kind of see a blob standing in front of you there when you look at that mirror. It's not a real clear reflection. You don't have all of the information, so to speak. It's not a real clear revelation of yourself. I believe he's likening that. Right now, we see through a glass darkly. We don't have the whole picture. But when that which has come, that we're going to be able to see face to face, we're going to have everything that we need. And then we come to our text verse where he finishes it off in verse number 13. And he says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And again, as I read this, I think he's talking about in that present time, now abideth, but I also believe in context, he's telling them there's a time coming soon as Christians when we're not going to need those other, and in that time, these three things are going to abide. When we have everything we need, we won't need knowledge, we won't need prophecy, we won't need tongues, but faith, hope, and charity, these three abide. They're going to abide. And by the way, I believe they're still abiding. I believe these are still spiritual characteristics and spiritual graces that the Christian should embody and the Christian should be governed by. And he said, and the greatest of these is what, church? The greatest of these is charity. And that's the title of the message tonight. Charity is greatest. He said, prophecy, tongues, knowledge, these three will cease. Faith, hope, charity, these three will abide. Interesting to think about, the first three were external works. Prophecy, knowledge, tongues. And knowledge, I understand you could say, but as they knew, they shared that. Those were kind of things that people could see. Oh, he has that gift. Faith, hope, charity, they work their way out, but those are internal gifts. Those are internal attributes. Similar, I think, somewhat to law and grace, Old Testament and New Testament. Those things are they'll be fulfilled, and now we move into a relationship with the Lamb. And of those three, faith, hope, and charity, faith looks back to Calvary. That's where faith starts, right? We look back to what Christ did, and we have faith in his gift for us. Faith to Calvary. Hope looks forward to the coming of Christ. Love is for now. Love is forever. Love is what God is. Faith looks back, hope looks forward, love is for today, and charity is greatest. Faith, the Bible says, we need, it abides. Without faith, the Bible says, it is what? Impossible to please him. We must come to him in faith, believing, for by grace are ye saved through faith. These three abide. We still need faith in 2017. We need faith to be saved, and we need faith to continue on, because things come in our lives that we don't like, and things come in our lives that we don't understand. And it takes a faith in Christ and understanding. I don't understand all that you're doing, but I believe that you are in control, and that faith, and then hope. He says these things need to abide. By the way, don't in the Christian life, it's a dangerous thing to lose hope. What did Job say? And sometimes the psalmist would say, I've lost my hope. Job was, I believe that what we would call, when a Christian loses their hope, or even a person that's not saved loses their hope, today we would call that depression. That's, in my opinion, in many ways what depression is. It's the law, and I understand there are other clinical things, and I'm not a doctor, but many times what depression is, it's a loss of hope. And I get to a place that there is no hope, and I find myself in this complete hopelessness. He says, these three abide, faith, hope, but charity, and charity is greatest. That doesn't sound right, does it? Charity is greater than faith? But faith is the foundation of our faith. We're saved by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. To me, if you're asking me to rank them, I think I would rank faith above charity. To me, it seems like faith is more important than charity, but Paul made it very clear, these three abide, faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity. And I got thinking about that. I got pondering that this week. What about charity is greater than faith? That doesn't sound right to me. And then I got thinking, what did Christ say when they asked him, what's the great command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is Christ saying? The most important? Charity. A biblical love. He's saying that we ought to be governed by that biblical love. And when you say, I'm a man of faith, that's great, but don't neglect the biblical love. By the way, as I pondered this, the truth is biblical charity or biblical love is at the root of the other two. If we are not governed by biblical charity, we will not have the faith that we should have. We will not have the hope that we should have. Those two things are governed by our charity. Let me illustrate. What do we say if with somebody that wants us, hey, I promise this or that or this or that, and they might promise something to us, and we might say, how do I know I can trust you? I don't even know you. If there's no relationship there, there's not going to be any trust. If there's no love there, there's not going to be any faith. Charity, biblical love, is at the root of being able to trust, at the root of being able to, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which is faith. If today you and I were to get, maybe if your parents are living, or a relative, a husband or a wife, or a brother or a sister, an aunt or an uncle, somebody that you knew and loved, that you have a good relationship with, if you got an email from them today saying, the Lord put you on my heart. I was thinking about you. I think maybe you could use this right now. And if you'll send me your bank information, I want to transfer $1,000 into your account. If my mom emailed me that today, I might text her and say, hey, you know, Mom, you don't really have to do that. No, and she texts me back, no, I want to do that. And I want to put $1,000 into your account. Please send me the link to get to your bank, and I want to send that. Guess what? I'm probably going to trust her, give her that information, and believe that she's going to do what she said. What's the basis for my faith? My love. If somebody gave you, you opened your email up on your smartphone tonight, and there was someone that said, hello, I'm from Nigeria, and I want to send you $1,000. Please send me your bank account info. And you, what would you immediately, hopefully what you would do is you would push delete. Why is that? You have no faith in that person. Why don't you trust them? There's no relationship. There's no love. Biblical charity is the basis for faith. The same thing is true with hope. We hope for what we love. We hope for, let me say that again, we hope for what we love. Most of us, when we see a police officer pulling up behind us, what happens? Our heart drops into our stomach, right? We get scared to death. Why? Because there's not a love relationship. You might say it's a love-hate. Now, we ought to love and support our officers. I understand that. But as it relates to when they pull up behind us, you immediately check your speed, you tap on the brakes, you put your seatbelts on, you get out of it, and you just start stressing out, right? Hopefully the kids' seatbelts are already on, but you know what I'm saying. You start looking around, and do I tend to, and doing all the things you learned, and why? You don't hope, tonight, none of us are hoping that a police officer pulls up behind us on the way home. But what if, again, there's a relative that's out of town and all of a sudden, but you hope you could get to see them, or they pulled up behind you, there would be a great excitement, a great hope. I get to see, I hope they'll stay behind me. I can get their attention so we can stop and we can see each other. I hope they know who they're behind. I hope we can get there. You might hope that you can, at the holidays, you might hope that you'll get to see your family at Christmas. Probably none of us are hoping that we get to see an IRS agent in April for an audit. We hope for what we love. If we're not hoping to see Christ, there's probably something wrong in our love relationship. If we're not hoping to, whatever it might be, charity is the foundation for the other two. He said, three things are passing away in this passage, knowledge, prophecy, tongues. And then he says, and when that which is perfect, we're not going to need those childish things. We're going to be mature in Christ because we have the complete prophecy and revelation of God. And he says, and now I want you to understand as you move past these gifts, and again, understand that this church was struggling with the misuse of some of these gifts. This church was struggling. People, they had some wrong priorities. That's why he says at the beginning, if you speak with the tongue of men and of angels and you have not charity, it's worth nothing. And you do all kinds of impressive things and you give your body to be burned and you bestow all your goods on the poor and you're focused on all this external, but you don't have a biblical heart of charity for God and others. It's a pointless Christianity. And then he says at the end, now abideth these three, faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity is the foundation of faith. We believe in that in which we love. Charity is the foundation of hope. We hope for that in which we love. Who and what we love is what we will hope for and what we will believe in. Charity is greatest. Again, of these three, generally speaking, love is for others, faith and hope is for us. Faith and hope is personal. Love is something that we give to others. And God said, before you focus on yourself, focus on love. Loving God, loving others, charity is greatest. And before you focus on all of these impressive other things, check on the hope for those. And faith and hope are human. Love is God. Faith and hope are human. Love is of God. Charity is greatest. With that in mind, just three simple thoughts tonight, and we'll be done. He says here, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Looking at that entire chapter, 13 verses of chapter 13, with all of that in mind, what do I believe that Paul is trying to teach the Corinthian Christians that we can apply to our lives? I think he's trying to tell them, number one, if charity is greatest, desire it. Some people, man, I wish, do you ever, people have certain gifts. Do you ever wish you could sing like so-and-so? Boy, some of you might say, I wish I could sing like Pastor Thompson. That's understandable. A lot of people feel that way, and you know, we can't all have voices like that. Or somebody's really good in a musical instrument. I wish I could play like that. Somebody has a brilliant mind with mathematics or in computers. I wish I knew how to do that. And it's amazing the things that we desire. I wish I had a house like they have. I wish I had a car like they have. All of these externals. But what I think Paul is trying to get them to focus on, if you could desire anything in your Christian life, if you could desire anything in your family, if you could desire anything in your Christianity, desire charity. He's hitting it over and over and over again. He's telling them what charity is, and without charity, it's not worth anything. And the charity is greatest, and these three are going to pass away, but these three abide. But make sure you keep charity at the forefront. I believe he's telling them, desire charity more than you desire to be impressive, or more than you desire to have this gift or that gift or to be recognized of men or to be lauded. Desire to be a Christian that is governed and controlled by charity. Desire to be a loving Christian. Desire to be a loving husband. Desire to be a loving wife. Desire to be a loving friend. Desire to be a loving child of God. Charity, desire it. Corinthian Christians, you should want this. It's the greatest. It's the most important one. It's more important than any works you can do. It's more important than any gifts you can have. It's more important than any other impressive things. Desire to be a person of agape biblical charity. It's interesting, the brevity of life. When life ends, how we start to really encapsulate and think about everything. This week, Mark Smith and my wife, their grandpa, Gubby Treiber, he went to heaven on Friday morning, 93 years old. It was interesting as I thought about his life. He had a long career. He retired. He was a salesman, successful business owner, started his own business at one time. He had been a deacon. He had been a faithful man in church for decades and decades. But it was interesting as I thought about his life, there was two words for me that came to mind. It was joyful and faithful. He was a joyful Christian, a faithful Christian, a joyful husband, a faithful husband, a joyful grandfather, a faithful grandfather, a joyful church member, a faithful church member. He was, in my opinion, embodied by this biblical charity. If you met him, you loved him. I don't know of anybody that didn't love Gubby Treiber. I knew him from his 60s through his 90s, I guess. He had a heart for people, a heart to serve, a heart to love. And it's interesting, as I thought this week about his life, I thought, you know, so many of the things that I desire, that I'm working so hard toward, that keep me up at night, that I'm so worried about, they really don't matter when you get to the end. How's my joy? How's my love? How's my faithfulness? Boy, but I want this, and I want to get that, and I've got to check this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to achieve this, and I've got to accomplish that. And I'm not against goals, and I'm not against being diligent, but desire charity. Charity is greatest. I believe he's telling them, desire charity. Seek it. Strive to make it a part of your life. Ask God to help you to be governed and guided by that Christ-like agape love that we studied word by word. We, in our lives and in our society, we've seen so many broken models of love. God is the perfect picture of love. God, teach me to love others the way that you love me. God, you love me enough to send your son sacrificial love that paid the price, that covered my sin, that made up everything that I need. Help me to be controlled by that love for those that you put in my life. God, help me to desire. Do you desire charity, or do you desire power or position or prestige or fame or somebody knowing you or this earthly accomplishment or whatever it might be? Charity is greatest. Desire it. Number two, not only desire it, but display it. Seek to implement it daily. How do you fix broken relationships? You display love. You pray for them. You see the good. You're long-suffering. You're kind. Go back through the characteristics. Behaveth itself, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. And think about in that relationship that's broken, ask yourself, is this the love that I'm showing in that broken relationship? Is this the love that I'm showing to that person that I'm at odds with in my life? Am I showing the love of Christ? I believe he outlined every single characteristic there that he did, I believe, so that they would know how to display it. Because it's one thing to say, love people. But he made it clear. He gave us a little checklist for how our love is. Sometimes my love is a phileo love. I'll love you as long as you love me. I'll love you as long as you're nice to me. But that's not the love God commanded us to have. Love your enemies. Do good to them that use you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you. You know what that is? That's biblical charity. Desire it. Display it in your relationships. Who's hurt you? God wants you to display a Christ-like love. What did he do when we hurt him? He loved us still. What did he do when we hurt him? He forgave us still. What did he do when we betrayed him? He welcomed us back with open arms. And he says, the same love that I had for you, it's the love I want you to have for others. A biblical charity. I'm thankful for this church and the spirit of this church. I want to always be a part of a church where agape, biblical charity and love permeates every relationship of the church. I don't want a church of discord and division and gossip and backbiting, talking badly and pointing and judgmental and did you know here and power struggles. Nobody wants to be a part of that. That's not how the church is supposed to operate. By the way, that's not how your home's supposed to operate. That's not how your extended family's supposed to operate. That's not how your workplace is supposed to operate. Especially for us as Christians that know better, we're supposed to be people of love. Charity is greatest. Desire it, display it, and lastly, develop it. We are not perfect like Christ, and so this is not natural for us. So keep working at it. We're selfish by nature, and so we're going to automatically sabotage relationships, and we're going to let that phileo love creep in, that self-serving love, that fleshly love, looking for what we can get in return. And so ask God, would you help me to develop that? And God, every man, the Bible said, he seeks his own. That's my natural state, is to seek my own. So God, help me to be one that looks for the things of others, and help me to be one that suffers long and is kind, and help me to be one that bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. And when I mess up in my love, apologize and start over and develop it again. And honey, I messed up there. I didn't treat you like I should have. I didn't love you as Christ loved the church. I'm sorry. Let's start again. And kids, daddy shouldn't have treated you that way. I'm sorry. And let's start again. And for me, I'm going through my roles in life. Staff, I'm sorry. I handled that very wrongly. I shouldn't have been short with you there. I'm sorry. Let's start again. I wasn't controlled by agape love. I was controlled by the flesh. I need to develop that in my life. And that's a lifelong journey because we're all sinful. And we're all human, and we're all selfish. And so Paul, he finishes it off with those five verses. He says, right now, we don't know everything, so we have these other gifts. But don't get enamored by these other gifts, because they're going to pass away. And when they do, when we have the full scripture, we'll know everything. But there's three things we're still going to need, even after God gives us his word. We're going to need faith, hope, and charity. And I would say, boy, so faith's the most important one, right, Christ? And right, Paul? Faith's the most important one? No, charity is greatest. These three are going to abide, but seek after charity. Desire it. Display it. And seek to develop it. When you mess up, apologize and start over. If you can seek to focus on one spiritual grace and attribute, you know what I would challenge you to focus on? Charity. Not because that's what I think, but because I can't find any other thing in God's word as being the greatest. I can't find, when they ask Christ, of all the commands, what's the most important? Love me, love others. It's everywhere. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one toward another. Love, 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 charity. If you want to seek, and we ought to be seeking to develop multiple spiritual graces, but the one we ought to put on the pedestal, if you will, the primary one, the one that we ought to seek after, God, would you give it to me, as a biblical charity, a charity that is kind and suffers long, a charity that believes and bears and endures, a charity that seeketh not her own, a charity that lives for others, a charity that always works. And you can go back, if you weren't here, and listen online to all of those characteristics, but we ought to seek to develop that one attribute. And where did we start at the beginning? What did he say? He said, no matter what you have, if you don't have charity, you have nothing. We ought to love our neighbor and love our God and love our enemy and love our family and love and love and love. How are you going to develop biblical relationships and mend broken ones? Through a biblical charity. That was the subtitle of this series, I think. Building biblical relationships, building strong relationships, and mending broken ones. How are you going to do that, and how am I going to do that? A lasting relationship that's not me trying to see what I can get out of that person, and that person seeing what they can get out of me. How are we going to have biblical relationships and mend the broken ones? We've got to seek to desire, display, and develop a biblical charity. God, I thank you for your word and these thoughts this evening. I thank you for this study as we've gone word by word and verse by verse through 1 Corinthians 13. I pray that, Lord, our hearts and our minds, sometimes we get so impressed by other gifts. We get so impressed by other accomplishments and other achievements. Help us to remember that charity is greatest. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, but the greatest of these is charity. Help us to seek to be governed and defined and characterized by a Christ-like love in every one of our relationships. Lord, I know that I'll fail in that, but when I do, help me, God, to get right and get back at it. Help our church to be defined by a Christ-like agape love. Help our homes to be defined by a Christ-like agape love. Help churches all across America and pastors to pastors to be defined by a Christ-like agape love is my prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Rebecca will play. Let's stand together. The altar's open. Maybe you want to pray for your family, your life, for our church. If you'd like to come forward and pray for a few moments. She's playing that song that Damaris and Tony sang, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Let's ask God to help us to be people governed by biblical charity. Have you allowed a judgmental spirit to creep in? Have you allowed a critical spirit to creep in? To those God's putting in faith? Have you allowed a vindictive spirit to creep in? Ask God to help you to love those in your life, the lovely and the unlovely. How deep the Father's love for us. Then he challenged us to seek to have that same type of love. We'll never love on the measure that God did, but we can seek to emulate his love. It'll change your marriage if you'll love like Christ loved. It'll change every one of our relationships if we'll seek to have that biblical charity. That brought us back, and that's what it'll do in your relationships as well. God, I pray that each one of us would take these thoughts. God, this series is stretched out over several months, but I pray that, Lord, we'd be reminded in our daily lives to seek to have the love of Christ in our online interactions, interactions with strangers, interactions at work, interactions at home, interactions in every place you send us. God, may we display the love of Christ to those that are easy to get along with, and God, those that are adversarial toward us. God, it didn't matter what we did to you, you still displayed your love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God, while people push against us, help us to love them with the love of Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that last verse there. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom.
I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Charity, it always works. It's kind, it's long-suffering, seeks not its own. It's what was that one where it causes us to grow up and remain like a child? All those lessons. And then the last one, charity is greatest. Are you desiring it? Are you craving it? Are you seeking to have the love of Christ completely control every one of our interactions? It doesn't always control mine, but I want to be more like Him. I trust you do as well.